Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
2019 was a record-breaking year for Irish tourism when 11.3 million overseas visitors came to our shores, generating 5.9 billion euro in revenue. However, the COVID-19 pandemic left the industry reeling with lockdowns and a near collapse in international travel, and they estimate the loss was 12 billion euro. There are now fears that 2023 will see the end of the so-called pent-up demand and bring a new set of challenges. So what lies ahead for Irish tourism? Well, we're joined by Eoin O'Mara Walsh, CEO of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, by Ruth Andrews, CEO of the Incoming Tour Operators Association, and by businesswoman and hotelier Lorraine Sweeney. Good morning and welcome to you all. We'll go to you, Eoin, first of all, for those global figures. I mean, 12 billion lost seems a bit far-fetched.
Well, it's over a two-year period, and I think we have to remember that 75% of the Irish tourism economy is made up of international visitation. And of course, since COVID, which was March 2020, there was the non-essential travel ban, and pretty much international visitors were stopped from coming to our shores. And they're the big spenders. They're the Americans, the French, the Germans, the British. So over a two-year period, we calculated that across the whole broad tourism and hospitality sector, there was a 12 billion euro loss.
Isn't that a nice headline? But let's think about this. All that money that was going to go to Spain, Portugal, Italy and beyond, Croatia and all the rest, stayed here and was spent here. So it's not really 12 billion, is it?
No, it is 12 billion, and there's science behind it. There was a staycation bounce for a short period of time when if you like, businesses were allowed trade and open. But remember, social distancing, capacity restrictions, there was a load of if you like, restricted trade that the industry had to deal with. So overall, a 12 billion euro loss over a two-year period, and we were absolutely walloped during COVID.
All right, so we'll park that 12 billion figure for the moment. But Ruth Andrews, who's the CEO of Incoming Tour Operators Association, obviously, we saw it. There was no business to be done.
Absolutely, Pat. We were completely floored. We managed to be back in operation from August of last year. So effectively, as good as more than 18 months, completely closed. And with that, in the opening from last August, obviously, we only saw about 10% of 2019 business coming through our members during that very short period, because obviously we had Omicron and then we had further surges.
Sure.
So it was a really devastating time.
Explain to me the nature of the incoming tour operators business.
Sure.
We all understand the nature of the outgoing tour operator. You buy your package deal, you go to a sunny place.
Exactly.
And it might be all in or a part board or whatever. That's the way it works over there. And then many people DIY it.
That's right.
What do incoming tour operators do in Ireland?
Effectively the same thing, except we're the people who bring the tourists into Ireland. So our members spend significant sums. Back in 2019, they spent almost 14 million promoting Ireland internationally in all of our main overseas markets. They exist because they bring in international visitors, holidaymakers, business tourists, both group and individual packaged holiday product. So our members would have been responsible for 11% of the total volume of international visitors that came to Ireland in 2019.
Typically, because I remember years ago, they used to have coachloads of Americans who wouldn't be particularly well-heeled, and it might be a visit to the old sod for the first time in their lives. They'd go to, you know, Blarney into the woolen mills, and they'd go to Killarney, and they, you know, and they didn't spend a huge amount of money. They would sit in a pub maybe and have a half a pint of lager for the whole evening, that kind of thing. I suspect there's a lot of high-end business now, though.
There is a lot of high-end business. And those very coach tour people that you're talking about, I mean, the demographic has changed dramatically, by the way, in the last 10 years on people who want that fully managed, serviced holiday. So in terms of coach tourism, it's actually very good business for Ireland. It stays longer. It packages all of the elements. So you've got the entertainment, the visitor attractions, the restaurants, the pubs that you've mentioned, and the accommodation. So when you're packaging all of that and people are staying on average 8 to 10 days in the country. That's a big, big chunk of change in terms of the spread of the business that also travels to every region in the country. And that's what makes it really, really powerful in
terms
of the value.
Are they bigger spenders than they used to be?
Yes, they are far bigger spenders than they used to be. And they traditionally would use, you know, four-star accommodation. And of course, you have budget groups as well that use the three-star accommodation. But the beauty of our business is that we filter business into every aspect of the supply chain across the tourism industry. And beyond that, it has to be said, into the hospitality sector. And in terms of high end, you're absolutely right. That is a growing market for us, particularly for the individual premium product that we deliver in terms of packaged holidays. Business tourism, the incentive and corporate meetings business. Our members do a significant amount of business out of North America and continental Europe, particularly in that area. And it's hugely beneficial to the industry.
I mean, there are people who fly in on private jets with their golf clubs and are chauffeur driven around the place to
And of course, you have the golfers and you have people who do spend at a high. But I suppose what we need to be cognizant of, particularly in Ireland, is we need all of those tourists because we're not just going to be a high-end destination. I mean, in terms of luxury tourism, it's the world over and we compete in a very, very...
How challenged were you then by, for example, trying to book accommodation this year when every hotel is full and, you know, people who are looking for any kind of last-minute reservation are being asked to pay prices that are simply unaffordable?
Well, the bigger difficulty that we had initially, Pat, was actually getting the accommodation availability because it just simply wasn't there. And you're quite right. This year is an anomalous year in terms of the booking pattern. People are booking a month to 6 weeks out. Our business normally books 8 months out and you know, closer to 3 months. So when we're in a capacity constraint scenario in terms of the accommodation sector, in terms of the transport area, this has been a huge problem. In actual fact, unfortunately, there's been a significant enough amount of business that we have not been able to convert because we simply couldn't deliver the product.
How are you finding relations with people that would have been providing accommodation and other services over the years and suddenly they're turning you away? I mean, the bad times will come again,
they will.
Do you have a long memory and say, you tried to gouge me, I'm not going to you again?
Well, we do. But as I say, we do have long-standing relationships. And to be fair, I would have to say that the vast majority of the tourism accommodation providers haven't been gouging and they certainly haven't been gouging us. Those that appreciate and understand the distribution channel that we bring are more in the long-term thinking mindset. And those who are in the short-term thinking mindset, well, time will tell where that falls for them. But it's unfortunate that there are some who aren't taking the longer-term view in terms of Irish tourism.
Now, Lorraine Sweeney is joining us on the telephone. Lorraine, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
You're a hotelier, a businesswoman. How has your recovery been?
Well, what I would say is recovery has been good so far this year. The first part of the year is positive. There's no doubt about that. But what we believe is the medium term is very uncertain. Most bookings are late bookings, like last minute, you know, 2 weeks in advance or whatever. And these we're afraid, actually, that these might disappear. Certainly, group bookings are not at 2019 levels. And I don't see them coming back to 2019 levels in the short to medium term.
Now, why is that? Is that, you know, fear of the pandemic resuming another variant and therefore plans having to be cancelled fairly quickly with little or no notice to you and therefore a loss to you?
Exactly. I mean, just basically, I think the volume of group bookings is not there at the moment. I think, I mean, there are some threats to our industry and certainly air travel, us being an island, is definitely a threat to us just at the minute. There's a lot of disruption. Costs will dramatically increase. I think airlines will have to absorb a lot of price increases with fuel and everything. And to be honest, I think that's a longer term threat to us in the future is that the cheap flight to Dublin for three nights is not going to happen in the future. I think that's all going to increase dramatically.
If we've come to the end of an era of very cheap air travel, well, obviously that weekend break in Prague that Irish people might go on would be no more. That weekend break in Dublin that Scottish people might have done might be no more. But the corollary of that is if they're not going to Prague, they might go to Bundoran. You know, they might stay at home.
That's true, although I think Irish people are itching to travel at the minute. Certainly home holidays are down. The country towns where tourism was exploding for the last couple of years are very quiet. So, you know, the pandemic has changed a lot of what's happening. And it's hard to know how I mentioned that we normally would welcome 8 million tourists into Ireland. And that's not going to bounce back immediately. So I see that it's an uncertain future for hotels and generally the tourism sector. And I'd have to say I'd be worried about it.
Now, some of the texts coming in, I'll put these to Owen and also to you, Lorraine. We cannot compete with foreign holidays with our hotel prices here. It's completely unaffordable for three kids to go for a week in Ireland, says one. Another one, Joe in Athlone. I've no sympathy for the tourist sector. Last year, my family of six had a staycation in Mayo, three nights. The same price allows me to go abroad this year for 2 weeks. I had an event to attend in Dublin recently, but the price gouging that hotels are engaged in meant that I drove home rather than stay the night. That's from Joe in Athlone. Sick of hearing stakeholders in the tourism sector saying it's only a limited few. This is about gouging. Look up five hotels in Ireland at random and see what they're charging. The question of, you know, the golden goose stopped laying for a couple of years. So therefore, you squeeze the golden goose once the pandemic is over to get as many big fat golden eggs as you can without looking to the future. Price gouging is a reality.
Yeah, I think value is very important. I mean, Ruth mentioned it there that, you know, our experience would be, and indeed the feedback we have from the international visitors. Remember, there was a million international visitors in Ireland in June alone, and they weren't all coming down to the lobbies of their hotel the following morning giving out about price. So they saw value, but there are a small minority of providers, your texters mentioned it, that are charging, to our mind, excessive prices. Pricing. That's not reflective of the broader industry, nor does it leave the industry in a good light. And I think value is key. Back in the Celtic Tiger years in 2006, we actually lost our value proposition because prices within Irish tourism and hospitality became too expensive.
Are we not doing it again?
We have to keep an eagle eye on it. Costs have risen dramatically. So if you look at the cost inflation that tourism businesses have to face, that is driving costs up predominantly rather than profit margins.
I have a friend who drives a lot of Americans around the place, and he said, you know, often we're rubbishing our industry on air and so on. He said, my experience with the Americans, none of them are complaining about price. But the dollar and the euro are at one. So, you know, buy a pint in New York City, I don't know, it'll cost you $15 maybe. Buy a pint here, it might cost you fiver. Of course they will think it's great value because of the dollar-euro relativity at the moment. If that goes back to where it was, Ireland will be expensive again.
Yeah, I mean, exchange rates, whether it's dollar or sterling, we have to keep in mind, do impact on the value perception that visitors have. And the dollar is in our favour at the moment. But I think the broad issue is that Irish tourism has got to retain its value proposition. We're never going to be the cheapest destination. So some of your texters there talking about European holidays and so on, we are never going to compete with the Med. We simply aren't. The costs of running a business here are simply too high. The vast majority of tourism and hospitality businesses, there's 20,000 of them, by the way, in the country, the vast majority are SMEs. The profit margins are very modest at best of times.
Isn't there a touch of the way we talk about doctors and nurses? We educate them here expensively enough, and then we export them. And then we scour the Philippines and the Indian subcontinent to get doctors and nurses to come here. So here we price our Irish holidaymaker out of the domestic market and export them to Spain and Portugal. And then we import tourists from other places where they find us affordable. Is that a realistic way of doing business?
Well, I think, to be fair about it, I mean, the domestic market is a very important market to us. It does and has been 25% of the Irish tourism revenue over the last decade or so. And those holiday makers tend to happen outside. And that's the beauty of the domestic market as well, that they're not just seasonal. So traditionally, the Irish domestic market has always been a sun destination seeking market. And we, I suppose, backfill that in terms of our international tourism, and our domestic market then takes the shorter breaks or the week-long midterms around the country, which are really important to us as well, and where there is fantastic value. And I suppose you know, as Owen has said, comparing like with like is you know, often difficult for people to understand. But, you know, we have a different offering in terms of the Irish tourism product. And I think it's highly sought after from the international markets. When you look at the customers that come here year on year, and we have a huge amount of repeat business, it's because of the terrific quality of the product that they're getting here. And I think that also has to be remembered. The quality of the Irish tourism product, when you compare it to some of our other competitor destinations, we really deliver and punch well above our weight. And we see that year on year over, again, from the Fáilte Ireland figures, that customers who are interviewed leaving the country have said that we have exceeded their expectations, and that's well up into the 90%, Pat. So
here we have a text, and I've been banging on about this for a long time. Why are hotels not regulated by an external regulatory body and the price based on their star rating? Elsewhere, the maximum permitted room rate for a particular room is clearly printed on the door. Here, it seems the hotel just picks a figure, says Mick in Connemara. What about that idea that you've got, you can be charged a lower rate if you like, but there is a maximum beyond which a hotel may not charge?
Hotels are registered through the Tourism Authority here in Ireland.
But they're not regulated.
They're not regulated as such. No, they're not controlled. But they do have to show, and it's within their public lobby areas, not on the back of bedroom doors anymore, their minimum and their maximum pricing. So customers can ask to see that, and it is a requirement in terms of registering.
Why is it not on the door?
That I'm not 100% sure.
Is it because
sure.
they don't expect people to ask? I mean, if, for example, you want to go to Garth Brooks or whatever, mm-hmm. and you're doing a last-minute booking and you're told it's 500 a night for a room, I mean, is the hotel ever likely to let people know in advance that this is the maximum they're going to? And in the midwinter on a November night, you might get the same room for 200.
Sure. And it's the same with an airline seat. It's called dynamic pricing. And that is where we are at in terms of supply and demand. So, you know, the same product will be sold at a different price based on the level of demand. And as we've already said, the level of demand at the moment, generally in travel and
so
tourism.
As far as you guys are concerned, if the free market holds, well, charge what the market will bear.
Well, to my knowledge, the maximum minimum prices that hotels have to give to Fáilte Ireland, the National Tourism Agency, at the start of the season, has to be displayed in a public place behind reception. So that's the requirement.
Behind reception, where you need a telescope to see
it. Well, yeah, but it used to be on the back of bedroom doors. I don't know why it isn't anymore, but it still has to be displayed in a public place at reception. But I think what you have at the moment within Irish tourism, that value debate is a real debate and a live debate, and it's something that we as industry leaders are very conscious of maintaining value. Yeah.
I understand that if, for example, you are getting a prawn sandwich on brown bread with a pint of Guinness and it costs you this, and you say, I could get a meal in Spain for half the price. Yeah, but what meal are you going to get for half the price?
Yeah, correct.
So a meal is not always a meal.
Yeah, I think, Pat, just on the accommodation, I think we have a supply shortage in Ireland. I think we have to be mindful of that. You know, construction stopped during the pandemic as well. So there's about 3,000 new bedrooms coming on stream in Dublin over the next year or two, which will be very, very important. And I think supply ultimately moderates price. You talk about demand and supply in a dynamic market. What you need is more supply. That will improve value and it'll moderate price.
When are Irish hotels going to abandon the infuriating nonsense of per-person sharing and single supplements and simply charge a flat room rate like the rest of the world? If you buy this room, if there's two of you in it or one of you in it, that's the room price. What's wrong with that approach?
Nothing. And many have actually abandoned that and some have not. I suppose it just depends on the actual product that you're looking at.
And then if you want breakfast for two, you pay for two breakfasts. If you want breakfast for one, you pay for one breakfast.
Yeah,
simple.
Exactly.
Lorraine, what about the problem of the hotels? More hotel rooms coming on stream, but a shortage of hotel rooms also currently ongoing because of the presence of Ukrainian refugees in those hotels.
Yeah, I think this is a huge problem, Pat. I think there are pockets of, you know, tourism spots in Ireland that the hotels are completely full of Ukrainian refugees. And, you know, whilst we all welcome them to the country, it's not tenable either for the refugees or for the sector that this is how they will be housed. Many of these Ukrainian refugees come from very wealthy backgrounds, you know, good standard of living. And they've enjoyed, you know, their apartment living, and suddenly they're all cooped up in the bedrooms. And I think the government has to sort itself out and have a longer term plan as we keep receiving people, because the way I see it as an operator now, that I can't imagine when they're going to actually be able to rehouse them elsewhere in the foreseeable future. And that's a real problem for pockets of the country, towns that do not have an offering. But it's also a real problem for the refugees arriving. They come from a war-torn area, and I have personal experience of this. They're traumatized, and then suddenly there's a mother and three kids in a room, and you know, it's a difficult situation. So it's a problem for the industry that the industry needs to dialogue with the government on in order to rectify the situation in the longer term. But in the question of price gouging, I think the industry has been picked on, let's say, for the, you know, the Garth Brooks concert nights, and we're all being branded with price gouging. I know for a fact that my business has long-term relationships with different operators, and we are honouring those long-term bookings, and we're taking, like, we would also have a lot of commercial clients, and we'd give them a commercial rate, and we haven't put that rate up. So there's many instances where we've held our rates for the long-term relationship and the better, you know, better business practices, so that we will have those business come back to us into the future.
Some of more of the text coming in. I spent 10 days in West Cork. I was surprised how good the value was. Whinger's gonna whinge, says that texter. This one's kind of interesting. I own a takeaway. It'd be great for me if I could put the prices up between 5 and 7 when everyone is hungrier.
<That's good.
laughs> So when the demand is there, put the price up. Of course, they do that in the nightclubs, don't they? The price of the pint elevates as the night wears on, which is a sharp practice if ever I came across it. I sell commercial catering equipment. Would your hotelier be happy if her dishwasher blew up on a Friday and I was the only one with one in stock? Is it acceptable for me to gouge her under the law of supply and demand and on the basis of a short notice call? A question from Deck.
Well, we very well often do pay weekend prices for call out on service suppliers, I can tell you that much. You know, that, again, we'd have a long-term relationship with our catering supplier, and we would expect them to honour the kind of pricing structure that they have with us. Otherwise, we'll shop elsewhere. So that's my answer to him.
Now, a question for all of you really is about the shortage of hospitality staff. Pretty much everywhere you find restaurants not opening, say on a Monday and a Tuesday, simply because they can't staff those restaurants. And there will be places where it will be impossible to find somewhere to eat on a Monday and Tuesday. Mm-hmm. What's to be done?
It's a huge problem, and one that is actually being addressed. The industry is working very closely with Fáilte Ireland to look to the medium to longer term, because we can't fix this problem overnight. We lost a huge amount of people out of the industry because we were the most impacted by COVID, and people had to find other jobs, and actually were targeted by other industries for tourism people. Look, it's an issue not just in Ireland again. I've travelled overseas recently. I had exactly the same experiences. You had very limited offerings on Mondays and Tuesday nights. You had staff shortages and slower service. And Pat, it's not just in the hospitality industry. It's across the tourism industry. I mean, we have lost a huge amount of fantastic experienced drivers and guides, people who work at the incoming tour operators, who have marketing skills, who have operational skills. This is, you know, when I say this year is such a difficult year, but one that's so welcome in that we're able to open and trade in some form of normal environment. It's particularly difficult when you, at the end of February, you know, COVID restrictions are lifted and you have to go from 0 to 100 miles an hour to try and get your business back up and operating with pent up demand at levels like we've never seen before.
The lack of staff often reflected in other matters as well. Julia says, I've stayed in 3 different 4-star hotels over the past 6 months in various parts of the country. Awful cleaning standards, hair on the bathroom floors, dirty plug holes in all of them. Clearly the cleaning's not been done to a standard. Three nights in a 4-star hotel in Enniscrone and Sligo in August, 988 for 3 nights.
Pat, can I just
10 nights in the Radisson Blu in Gran Canaria, 10 nights, 5-star for 1250, not much more. Yes, Lorraine.
Pat, the shortages of staff are definitely having an impact on the cost of our product. And consequently, we have to pay higher levels of pay in order to attract people into the industry. And this is having a knock-on effect. And so we can't compete with, you know, the Radisson Blue in the Canaries, because they have a different base level for their staff costs. So, like, can people understand when they're listening to a program like this that Ireland is an expensive country into which we employ people, and therefore they have to pay high rents to live in accommodation? And all this is having a knock-on effect to the cost of our product.
Another text from Therese in Cork, looking for accommodation for September in West Cork. Spent the last 2 days to no avail, treated so badly by hotels and B&Bs, as if I'm annoying them. No help at all. They appear cocky with their successful summer. Anyway, that's a look at the tourism industry. Most people are having a great time.
Yeah, I think Pat, the thing to just stress is that as an economic sector, tourism is the largest indigenous industry the country has, and it's the biggest regional employer by far. So demand has surged at an unexpected pace this year, and supply has struggled to keep up, whether it's labour or accommodation or car hire. The next few months, and indeed into next year, are far less certain. You'll have interest rate rises, you'll have inflation embedded and so on. So I think, you know, it's incumbent on industry to offer as good value as possible and as good an experience as possible. And it's also key, I think, that the government stays the course and continues to support tourism with pro-business and pro-tourism policies in the budget, because this industry is too important to take for granted. And there'll always be the anecdotes about you know, expensive holidays and value and stuff. But in the broad picture, we do offer a really good experience to both the domestic market and the international tourist. And remember, 75%, as I said, of the market is of the tourism economy is made up of international visitors. That makes us an export economy. So we're hugely valuable to the
bring
economy.
Bring in foreign cash in. Exactly. Last words also to you,
yeah,
Ruth.
Obviously, I'd agree with everything that Owen said, but I do believe that Irish tourism you know, has a huge amount to offer regionally, as Owen said. It's so, so important. And I think it's going to take us time to recover. Nobody's expecting that there was going to be a quick fix, but we will get back, and we will work extremely hard to make sure that we do get back. You know, it may take till 2025 for us to actually get back to where we were, but there's an industry out there who are keen to do so.
And last words to you, Lorraine Sweeney.
Forward to it bouncing back, and the only way we can cope with a big bounce back is if the government enables us to bring in people to work in this country from other countries that want to come and work here and are willing to work in our industry, because Irish people are certainly
and,
not.
And you
so
and
need
I,
support in that area.
We spoke about this before on the delays in visas and processing and all the rest of it, which should be addressed immediately. Lorraine, thank you very much for joining us. Lorraine Sweeney, businesswoman and hotelier. Ruth Andrews, CEO of the Incoming Tour Operators Association, and Owen O'Mara Walsh, CEO of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation. Thank you all.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.